the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is God good?
All the time.
Do you feel blessed being here today?
Yes.
You know, regardless of the numbers, regardless of who's here or who is not here, the key thing for us is this, that God is here.
Amen.
And because God is here, because God has come to, I believe, by His Spirit, to speak to us, to minister to us, my prayer is that each and every one of us here will receive from this day a touch of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go into the Word of God. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 16 to the end, 16 to 26. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Verse 24 says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Amen. Today's message is really based on the word of prophecy we heard last week through Sister Debbie. Those of you who were here last week, if you remember what she said, of course I'm going to touch that in a minute. But number one, I'm a very strong believer in prophecy. I believe God speaks. Okay? I've said this several times, I continue to say it. I believe God speaks. And I believe that when God speaks, we as His people, we have a duty to react or to respond to what God has said. You see, God doesn't just talk just for the sake of it. God is not just a God who wastes His words. When God speaks, when God says something, He says it for a reason. And I believe, therefore, that when we hear the word of God, whether it's the preached word, whether it's the prophetic word, we need to act on it. Now, acting on the word can take a number of points or forms. It could include prayer, ministry. It could include individual reflection. It could also include a bit of teaching or preaching on what we've heard in order to expand it, in order for God's people to actually understand what God is saying. But I want to say one thing too, when we hear a word from the Lord, and it's very important that we understand this, God never ever comes to condemn us. If you hear a word of condemnation, you know that is not of God. Why? Because His word tells us in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if there is no condemnation, why would God come to us to bring a word of condemnation? Now, having said that, we need to understand, of course, just like we earthly parents, we discipline and chastise our children, yes, God could come to us with a word of chastisement, a word of rebuke, a word of warning. And yes, at times it may make us feel uncomfortable. It may make us feel uneasy. But one thing it will never, ever do, people of God, is condemn us. So when we hear the word of God, we need to ask ourselves the question, what do I need to do about what I have heard? How do I respond to the words that God has given to us? God told us last week that we're in the flesh. And the passage that I've read, of course, that was mentioned last week as well. But one thing I love about God, when he comes to us with a word, he always tells us or gives us the way out of it. And the verse you read in verse 24, it says, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh. Yes, we are told that those who practice such things, the works of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But listen, people, there is a way out. There is a way out, amen. Those who are in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Paul said in Colossians, speaking to the Christians there, he says, put to death your earthly members. So he's warned them of what's of the consequences of following our fleshly, our earthly desires. He's warned us of the consequences, but he's also told us, if you like, of the way out, how we get out of these things, how we crucify the flesh, how we put to death our earthly members. And I want to say this, just as I said earlier on, just as we earthly parents, we correct our children because we don't want them to go the wrong way. Because we know that if we don't correct them and they go the wrong way, the consequences could be severe for them and also for us. So we correct them, we warn them, we chastise them, we discipline them. Well, you know what? God does the same to us, because after all, we are his children. And we, at times, we do need correction from him, we need discipline from him, we need admonition from him. So when I heard the word last week from Sister Debbie, even right from the very moment when she mentioned it, and also to, I think, on the prayer line on the Friday as well, this verse kept on, if you like, vibrated, if you like, or resonated inside me. Those who are in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That is the way out, amen? And that's what we're going to look at today, as God would lead us. And therefore, the title of today's message goes along that theme, and it is this, crucifying the flesh. We want to learn what that means, how we do it, and the victory that is ours as we do it. You know, in Scripture, when we see the word flesh, at times it could be, if you like, human beings, this earthly body. But a number of times, and in fact, most of the time when we see it being used in Scripture, it refers to the sinful nature of man. It refers to that earthly nature which is prone or which is opposed to God. It refers to the nature of man, which is anti-God. God is telling us to go one way, and the fleshly nature is telling us to go the opposite way. And Paul also, in fact, also alludes to that, where he says that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of us here, if we're to be honest, there are times when you're about to do something, you know that it's wrong. There's something resonating inside you that is wrong, and you still do it. I bet if I'm going to be honest, all of us would be in that position, or have been in that position. Am I right? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm sure we've all been there. Where you know that what you're about to do is wrong. No one needs to tell you, you don't need a word of prophecy, you know it for a fact that it's wrong, and still there's something inside you pressing you, moving you to do that thing, even though you know that you shouldn't. People, we need to understand that there is a war going on. The moment you give your life to Christ, the moment you decide to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are engaged in spiritual warfare. And that is why Paul tells us in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, having done all to stand. You see, if there was no war going on, what would be the point of putting on the armor? The fact is there is a war because the devil doesn't like you. The moment you give your life to Christ, he doesn't like you. And therefore, he wants you back in his kingdom. Because when you give your life to Christ, you have, even as the Bible tells us, you've moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. You have actually upset the kingdom of darkness. And the devil therefore wants you back. Therefore there is a war going on to draw you back, to lure you back to where we once were. And that is why there is that constant struggle with the flesh and the spirits. And that is why, as Paul mentions in one of his epistles, he says, I die daily. At times, oh wretched man am I, the things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I should not do, I find myself doing them. There is a war going on, people of God, but you know what? Just as we sang, victory belongs to Jesus. And because we are in him, victory also belongs to us. Amen? Amen. And therefore, we are more than conquerors. But we need to understand this, people, of the nature of the war that we face. And we need to understand, even as his word tells us, that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But you see, even as we understand that we are at war and we're engaged in this war, the question is, are we putting on the armor that we need to fight this war? Are we sitting passive? Are we sitting ignorantly? Or are we moving on and doing things in the kingdom of God? One useful tool, if you like, that the enemy uses against God's people is ignorance. Because at times, when we don't know who we are in Christ, when we don't know what we have because of who we are, the devil wants to use that against us. My prayer is that God will open our eyes, God will open our understanding, that we will know who we are in him. And as we know who we are in him, we will stand our ground and know that the enemy, though he may try, and he will try, he will not be victorious. So the flesh is at war with the spirit because it is contrary to the Spirit of God. The word sometimes we see used in scripture for flesh as well is carnal. That's used, for example, in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. I think that talks about the carnal minds not being subject to God. It's the same word, if you like, this fleshly nature, this sinful nature, this ungodly nature, this nature which is opposed to God. So whether it's called flesh or whether it's called carnal, it's the same thing. So when Paul was telling, I think it was the Galatians or the Corinthians, that are they still not carnal? What it was implying is that they're still doing things in the flesh, still doing things which are sinful, still doing things that are not right. But God is calling us to move away from the sinful nature. God is calling us to do away with the fleshy nature. And he does that by telling us, just as you read in the passage, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See, the thing about sin is this, and I've said this here before, the thing about sin is this, is that it's interesting, it's enjoyable, it's sweet, it's nice. But you know what the Bible says? There is a way that seems right to man, but the end of it is what? Destruction. In Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews talks about the passing pleasures of sin. Which tells me that there are those out there in the world who are sinning, who are doing wrong, who actually enjoy what they're doing. Unfortunately, what they don't know is that the end of it, although what they do right now is pleasurable, the end of it is extremely bitter. You can liken it to, imagine a fisherman who's going fishing. Now, I've never fished before. Funny enough, my son said to me the other day, my six-year-old, he says, Daddy, I think we should go fishing. I have no idea where he got that from, but that's what he said. So we can have some fish for dinner. I said, okay. And I was thinking in my mind, fishing rod, where are we going to go and fish and all that? I don't know where he got that from, but anyway, that's just what he said to me. Daddy, we need to go fishing. But anyway, talking about fishing. You see a fisherman, now, like I said, I'm not an expert here, so anyone who fishes here, please excuse me if I get this slightly wrong. The fisherman has his baits, or has his hook, what have you, and he puts that in the water, waiting for the fish to come and take that bait. And the fish probably sees the bait, the worm, whatever it is, and thinks, wow, that's a nice juicy bit of food. But what the fish doesn't realise is that attached to that bait is a hook. So the fish then goes for that nice bait, and then its mouth gets caught in the hook. And then the fisherman feels that tug on his rod, and then he begins to wheel it in. You see, so there's that nice bait to tease the fish. What the fish doesn't realise is, if you get the bait, you're just going to get the hook. But the fish doesn't want the hook. But unfortunately, it comes with it. And you see, people, sin is like that as well. Yes, it's nice and juicy and pleasurable and attractive, but there's a hook at the end. And that is why, people, we need to come out of it. That is why we need to move away from it, because although it may be enjoyable right now, it won't be like that at the end. So the apostle tells us to crucify the flesh. Or as he says in Colossians, put to death your members which are on earth. You see, when something is dead, it has no power over you. Amen? When something is dead, it has no power over you. The influence it has over you is gone. You see, crucifixion was a very horrific way of dying. If any of you have watched any film about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, whether it's The Passion of the Christ or the HBO film called Jesus of Nazareth, you watch any of those films, it's actually quite a horrific, barbaric way to die. Because one, death is not instant anyway. It takes a while. It takes a while for the person to die. And what would happen is that if the person was on the cross for too long, they would sometimes break their legs in order to hasten death. Of course, Scripture tells us that that did not happen to Jesus, to fulfill the Scripture, no one of his bones shall be broken. But crucifixion was a horrific way to die. But what it did was that it was on display for everyone to see. This criminal, this horrible person is being put to death, and everyone could see what was going on. And also, to eventually, everyone would be able to see and know that that person being crucified was dead. And when Paul now is telling us to deal with our sins, with our fleshly nature, he uses that metaphor of crucifixion. Those who are Christ have crucified. You put it to the cross. What it means is this, people. I believe it means, one, that as we bring it to Jesus Christ, he deals with it totally and finally, completely. It means that our victory is complete in Jesus' name. Amen. It also tells me this, as I said, crucifixion was a public act. It means that it's there for all to see that this thing has been crucified. I believe that when we come to Christ and we put to death our earthly members, everyone around us should see the difference in our lives. There has to be a difference in us, people of God. If now we're putting to death our fleshly nature and those things that we were doing, we no longer do, I believe that people have to see it in you. I believe that the bigger or even greater witness for us is not even so much telling people about Christ, it's people seeing the difference in our lives. Because sometimes people are put up, people are surprised when you tell them, are you a Christian? I'm not being judgmental, but I've known people, they say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm like, oh, okay. No, seriously. That's not me being judgmental, it's because, hang on a minute, your life doesn't tell me or doesn't indicate to me that you're a Christian. I want to see it in your life. I want to see the evidence of Christ living and reigning in you through a changed life. So that the things that you once were doing, you no longer do. There's a song that says, for thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. There needs to be that situation where we have put things off, we have put things away, and it's clear for all to see. In our manner, in our behavior, perhaps even in our dressing, in our attitude, in all areas of our life, there is a difference, there is a change. So that the whole world can see that we have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. The second thing about being on the cross and crucifying something is this. As I said earlier on, crucifixion was not an instant death.
The people who were being crucified, yes, for a while they were in pain and people could see them. Now, perhaps you're going through that process where you're dealing with things in your life. And for some people, perhaps it happens instantly, where they're able to give things up. For other people, it's a process. Slowly but surely, gradually, they're dealing with these things. The point is this, it's being dealt with as you bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is being dealt with, and you know, you are taking action to ensure that that thing no longer has dominion over you. Yes, for some people, understand me this, for some people it is a process. And that's why we've got to be careful that we're not judgmental when we see sometimes the way how people are still behaving even after they've given their life to Christ. For some people it is a process. For some people it happens instantly. But the point is this, we're all on that journey where we're dealing with this fleshly nature. Because the fleshly nature, whilst we're still in this earthly body, while we're still in this clay body, that fleshly nature will still try and raise ugly head every now and again. The passions, the desires that come will still try and rear their ugly head every now and again. But what we do is that we take appropriate action to ensure that it doesn't overcome us. But ultimately, people of God, the way how we deal with the flesh is this. And Paul says it in that passage. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Question. And please hear me out here. I'm not being judgmental. I ask this question to myself as much as I ask it to you. If we are in the flesh, if we are still in the flesh, and I say if, is that an indication of how much or how little we are moving in the Spirit or in the things of God? It's a question. I'm not being judgmental. I'm not telling anyone off. I'm just provoking a thought in our lives. If the Bible says walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, could it be therefore that if we're struggling in the flesh, that our walk in the Spirit is not what it should be? Question for all of us, myself included, okay? I'm not excluding myself from that question. Could it be that our walk in the Spirit is not what it should be? Could it be that our relationship with God is not what it should be? Is that what the issue is, really and truly? Because the more, the closer we draw to God, the less the things of the world will matter to us. James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. There is, if you like, work for us to do. There is something that we need to do. And that is to walk in the Spirit. And you then ask, well, how do we walk in the Spirit? Well, one simple question I could ask you is, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible study life? That's the simple question, really true, that we could ask ourselves. And we can challenge ourselves on it. What's it like? How much time do we spend in the Word of God? How much time do we spend studying God's Word? Because how will we get to know this God if we don't study His Word, for example? How will we know what He's saying if we don't cry out to Him, if we don't spend time in His presence? So that's a challenge, I believe, for each and every one of us. In order for us to walk in the Spirit, in order for us to be doing what God wants us to do, how much time do we spend in the presence of our Heavenly Father? One thing about my work is that, you know, I normally come home maybe around 7-ish or 7:30, just before I put the kids to bed, and then the house goes nice and quiet. Lovely. But, you know, one thing I still try and do, even though I get home late as I may do, is still spend time with my kids. And I think that's very important. I get home, I'm sometimes really tired, and my son, like, Daddy, will you read me a story? I'm like, oh gosh, not really. But I know that he loves it. And I think to myself, even if I don't want to, he's not listening, by the way, I'm sure he isn't. I think to myself, even if I don't want to, I'm still going to do it. Because he loves that time. He loves, you know, listening to Daddy read to him. My point is this. It's important for us to spend time with our children. How much more spending time with our Father in heaven? How much more us being in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How much more us listening to what He wants us to do? How much more us listening to Him and Him therefore warning us of things that we should not do and we can move away from them, or Him tell us the things that we should do and therefore we do those things? But the question is this: if we are not spending time in His presence, how will we know what He wants us to do? Paul says, walk in the Spirit. It means that we need more and more of the Spirit of God. And listen, let me tell you, if you are truly giving your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is for you. God comes and lives in you by His Spirit. And you need to ask Him, therefore, Lord, to guide me, to lead me by your Spirit. This Spirit that you've given me, this Spirit of truth, the helper, the comforter. In Him there is no error. In Him there is no mistake. And He comes to help us. He comes to comfort us. He comes to tell us what we should do. And He comes to abide with us forever. Yes. You say, Father, how I need your Spirit. How I need your Spirit to not walk in the flesh. How I need your Spirit, Lord, to crucify the deeds of the flesh. The psalmist even said this, didn't he? Show me your voice and lead me in the way everlasting. He said, see if there be any wicked way in me, I beg your pardon. See if there be any wicked way. Search me, O God. Sorry, that's the phrase I'm looking for. Search me, O God. Know my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. It is God who does that. As I said earlier on, people of God, please never ever come to God feeling that you are going to be condemned. He who comes to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. You are not a reject. You are not a reject. And you are not second class when it comes to God. No, you are not. Come to the Father. Let Him comfort you. Let Him throw His arms of love around you. Just like the father of the prodigal son. When he saw the son, he ran out there. He embraced him. He kissed him. He said to servants, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, put nice shoes on his feet, and let us celebrate. The father of the prodigal son did not throw his son away. Even though his son had done all kinds of nonsense and rubbish, he did not cast him away. He still embraced him. He still loved him. He still took care of him. And so too, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how deep you have sunk into that pit. When you come to God, He throws His loving arms around you. And He looks at you and says, you are my child, you are my son, you are my daughter. And He pours His blessing, His grace, His mercy upon your life. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But we have a responsibility as people of God. The responsibility is to spend time with our Father. The responsibility is for us to listen to what He has got to say. And then to know that in our thinking, in our behavior, in our attitude, we are being godlike. Paul said, it's interesting, Pastor Mann preached on the mind last week. And interesting enough, had it not been for this word of prophecy, thank you, Sister Debbie, if it had not been for this word of prophecy, I probably would have brought a message today on the mind. But Paul said this, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Let this mind that was in Christ Jesus, let us think the things of God. I believe that, yes, we even need to bring our minds captive to the obedience of Christ. Bring our thoughts, even our thought process, we need to bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. So that even our minds, we think righteous things, amen? We think holy things. Not evil things, not things that you think that you're just even scared to leave the house and because of all thoughts that are running through your head. But we think holy and righteous things as God would lead us, as God would direct us. But we're doing all of this. We're doing all of this, people, to put to death our members which are on earth. And talking about putting to death, as I said, you know, crucifixion, was a painful thing. You see, there are things that we have to, where we have to make conscious efforts to get rid of certain things. Perhaps for some of us, it could be the circle of friends that we move in. We need to get rid of them. It sounds harsh, but you have to ask yourself this question. Would you rather keep your friends and party with them, or would you rather live and reign with Christ forever in heaven? If that's what's stopping you, if that's what's affecting your walk with God, then perhaps even in areas like that, we need to take action. When Paul, for example, says flee fornication, it's for me, I actually find that verse quite interesting. He doesn't just say walk away, he actually says flee. In other words, run away from it. Run away from these things. There are things with God's people where we have to physically remove ourselves from in order to deal with these things. We physically take ourselves out of the situation because they are doing us no good. But the result of this, if we do it, is that we have joy, we have peace, and we live and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. Amen?
Amen.
So, put to death your members which are on earth. Crucify the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Spend time, quality time with your Heavenly Father. Let Him speak to you and tell you the way that you should go. And in doing so, people, we will know the victory that we have been singing and we have been preaching and we've been talking about. Let's rise to our feet, please. Hallelujah. God has come to admonish us. God has come to speak to us. Perhaps it's made you feel uncomfortable. Perhaps even the word you've heard has made you feel angry, upset. Perhaps that's how you felt. Listen, just bring your thoughts to God. How you feel to God. Perhaps right now in your life, you know that there are things that you need to deal with. There are fleshly things, earthly things that you need to put to death, that you need to crucify. And you know that these things are preventing, hindering your walk with God. You know it. If that's you, why don't you right now just commit it to God? If that's you, just commit it to God right now. In the passage we read, Paul listed the works of the flesh. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath. He lists them there. Perhaps as that was being read, that struck a chord, a nerve with you. Bring it to God. Bring it to God. You felt challenged by the words. You feel that you're not walking in the Spirit. We'll ask God to help you, the Comforter, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. Lord, please help me to walk according to your will, to do what you want me to do, O God, that my life will be pleasing to you. If that's you. come out. You know that there are things in your life that you need to put to death. There needs to be not in your life, but there needs to be crucified. There needs to be dealt with. Anyone else before we pray? I'm not going to prolong this. I don't believe in doing that anyway. Put to death your members which are on earth. Those who are in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Is there still that evil passion, evil desire that sometimes wells up inside you that needs to be put to death, needs to be crucified?
Challenge us, I pray, in the name of Jesus. When we need to make a mess,
sense, why we need to change, Lord God. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we spend time in your presence, as we walk in the Spirit, as we do what you want us to do, may we find that joy, that peace that comes with it, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, pour out your grace and mercy upon us. Lord, thank you that you have not come to condemn us. Thank you that you have come to accept us. And therefore, we accept your love, O God. We accept your correction. We accept what you have to say. And my prayer, Lord, is that we will be changed people. We will be changed people in the name of Jesus. There will be a difference in our lives. The difference will be Jesus Christ. There will be a change in our lives, O God. So we put off the flesh and we embrace Lord Jesus Christ as we walk in the Spirit. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name.